Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to WAMS on the Blog Talk Radio Network. I'm Burke Allen, broadcasting live from our nation's capital here in Washington, D.C. And today we're talking about the new jobless figures. And while there are some signs of an economic recovery, well, unemployment certainly doesn't point to that. It's now over 10% nationwide as of the live broadcast of this program. And that means that, in fact, over 15% of Americans are without gainful employment or are underemployed. And that's what we're going to talk with our guest today about. Doug Wolf is the author of, among other books, The Complete Plan for Keeping Your Job in Any Economy. It's called Marketing Me. Doug Wolf, a marketing consultant and coach based in Southern California, has been in the world of helping other people throughout his entire professional career. Doug is a world-renowned expert on contact management. He's a speaker, author of 34 books now, 34 books. So he always has a job, including ACT, The Insider's Guide, Crystal Reports for Dummies, and The Survivor's Guide to Financing. He's a blogger for several business publications, and Doug is a graduate of Minnesota State University with a degree in marketing and mass communications. Amongst other things, Doug is also a former radio personality in Southern California. We welcome author of Marketing Me and MarketingMeBook.com, Doug Wolf to WAMS. Hi, Doug.
Hi, Burke. It's great to be on today. Thank you very much.
Well, it's certainly a topic that is near and dear to an awful lot of folks right now with these new unemployment numbers. And let's start with that. What do you make of these latest numbers out of Washington at over 10%?
Well, I think there's two comments I'd like to make. One is, it's, you know, of course, very bad. The numbers are higher than they've been in 26 years. Secondly, the real number of unemployment, if you factor in people who are discouraged, people who have lost their unemployment benefits, or people who have said, look, I need to work full-time, I can't get by on 30 hours a week, the number jumps to about 17.5%, close to 18%. California is even worse. So we're approaching numbers, we're two-thirds of the way towards what happened during the Great Depression, when you had almost 30-some percent of the workforce unemployed. And I, you know, in that context, that was when mostly men were in the workforce. Now you have the double whammy of most people need two incomes to support their family. So the outlook is kind of grim, and the reason is because, you know, with the stock market collapse, a lot of value was lost, and so businesses naturally, what they do is reduce their headcount to reduce their overhead to make their profitability look better. The problem is it's a self-reinforcing thing, is that people get laid off, they don't spend money. If they don't spend money, they don't buy products and services, and then the business drops even further. So the government has done their best to try and break that cycle. A deflationary cycle is what this is. But so far, it hasn't worked to tip the economy back the other way. I know there's some good numbers in terms of economic growth, but, you know, most of that happened, they say 3.5% positive growth. Most of that occurred because of the stimulus money in the Cash for Clunkers program and some other things that were adjustments. But the economy is carrying a huge debt burden right now, and there's a lot of friction, and people are just not hiring, and on the other side of the coin, people aren't spending. So you get in this cycle, and so if you're out there and you have a job, you better make darn sure you're doing everything to keep it.
And that's what this book is all about, the Marketing Me book. Our guest today is Doug Wolf, and if you'd like to be a part of the program, our telephone number is 718-506-1944. 718-506-1944. It's a free call if you're in the New York City metropolitan area. And you can also email us or hop on our online switchboard and blog site and interact with the program today. And if you're listening to this podcast after the live broadcast, Doug, where's the best way folks can find you online?
Yeah, if they go to my website, which is marketingmebook.com, it'll have you can email me and download a chapter one of the book. And I got some other goodies there for people who need help in their employment arena.
Now, I know that it takes a while to write a book and to go through the entire publishing process. So did you have a crystal ball when you began to write this thing? And did you see, the dark clouds on the horizon? Why write this book at this time?
Well, it was actually right after Christmas, January of this year. The stock market had done its free fall and was still actually declining at that point. And I noticed around me companies that I consult with and then family members who are very competent, very professional, well-regarded individuals losing their jobs. My sister's a good example. And I said to myself, well, no, wait a second here. This isn't just your normal downturn. There's something else going on. And what I came to find out was that, of course, what we all see now is that this is a structural change in the economy. Because we were at such a high level, with the housing market and, with the stock market was at 14,000 something, whatever. But it was all driven by debt.
Right.
And the problem is when the bills do come to have to be paid. And I could see, okay, this is going to go along for a long time. When I looked at it in January, I said, this is not just an overheated economy. This is an over-debted economy, which means it's just going to have to take a long time to work out through the process of paying down debt. Now, in that process, people who are good employees are going to lose their jobs because, not because they're not getting their job done, it's because they're not, when it comes down to A or B or who's going to stay, one person or the other is going to get picked because they did a better job of marketing themselves as what they offered the company to their boss, who is their market, is the person they got to keep satisfied and aware of what they do and keep them coming back for more, like a customer, is their boss.
Did you ever find yourself in this situation that you write about in your book of being someone who's sort of looking over their shoulder in a workplace and thinking, gosh, my days here are numbered and I'm not sure what to do about it?
Well, in my own personal work experience?
Correct.
Yeah, well, my first decade of my career was spent at entrepreneurial companies, small company startups in the software market, and yes, quite frequently I could see that, okay, this business plan isn't working to the extent they had hoped, and they're going to have to start cutting overhead, and I could be the one to go, no matter, unless I start doing something to produce revenue, or at least get the company aware that what I'm doing is producing more revenue than what they're paying me. So, yeah, I've been down the road. It's very uncomfortable.
Doug Wolf is our guest. The book is The Marketing Me Book, The Complete Plan for Keeping Your Job in Any Economy, and it's online at marketingmebook.com. And, Doug, you've written over 30 books now, and, boy, you talk about a timely one. So let's get right into it. What would you advise someone to do if they're working somewhere and they feel pretty uncomfortable about their chances of hanging on to that job for much longer?
Well, first of all, they should do the evaluation. You've actually pinpointed something to say, okay, is what I'm doing and how I'm doing it for this company something that's valued and is likely to be continued no matter how dire things get, or am I on the bubble in terms of, if they have to, they can let me go and have someone else cover my job. So you have to evaluate that, first of all. Second thing is, if you think you're in that spot, is do I want to stay here? Probably yes. It's a lot easier to keep a job than it is to find a new one, particularly in this market. So then you have to say, okay, what do I have to do every day in order to stay employed at this particular job? The first thing you have to do is start figuring out what it is that you offer. What am I offering this company in terms of a skill set that they value? Then you have to figure out, okay, I work for this boss. How does he or she like to get information? Do they like it in a verbal where I just give them quick updates standing at their door? Do they prefer a detailed email once a day? You know, how is it that they like to interact with their employees to find out what's going on? Because you can bet that boss is also worried about losing his job. He's got the same thing going on in his head right now. So you've got to find a way to make it easy for that boss to clearly value and see what you do for the company on a regular basis. So first of all, change your mindset. You know, you're only as good as the day you're there. Secondly, figure out how to communicate with your boss and make sure they understand what you do. And you know, third, I would say, you know, kind of imitate the boss's behavior. If the boss is an early starter in the morning, likes to get there at 7, you should be getting there at 7. If they'd rather stay late, and that's the kind of work hours they work, do that. And again, that's back to that. Also, the informal meetings that happen in the morning before the workday starts or after work when the phone stops, is if you can get into that time so they can become more comfortable with you. And you know, when it comes really down to it, if there's two people who are equal, the boss is going to pick the person they like best. And that's a hard fact of life. It is possible that you could get fired even though you do a better job at what you do than the person that they kept on. That's just the way it works, human beings being what they are.
So it really is a classic example then, Doug, of managing up to your boss.
Yeah, exactly. You can't just hunker down, do your job, and think, if I don't cause trouble, I'll be here. You've got to be not only when you talk to your boss, if you've got a problem, for instance, don't bring the problem, bring a solution to the problem along with it. At least a suggestion is what you can do. Because the boss is going to like you better if you can do the thinking for them and it's a reasonable solution, they'll probably say, go ahead, do it. So you don't want to be labeled as a person always bringing the problems. You know, that's a bad thing. And again, the work habit is important. You know, if they're probably working more hours, you're probably going to have to work more hours. That's just a fact of life. And you have to think about what it is that they need from you in order to be successful in what they do. That the boss is the customer.
How much of what you write about in Marketing Me book relates to personal marketing's differences from the way you would market a business? Or, Doug, are they very much the same in terms of marketing yourself to your boss to help you hang on to that job?
Well, I think the biggest difference is in a business, you have a target market, and they're out there somewhere, and you try to reach them through specific advertising campaigns and that sort of thing. In a job situation, you already know who your target market is. It's the boss. So you can hone your marketing message to a very fine degree to capture that one person's attention and make them, quote-unquote, buy in to what you're doing. So the big difference is you know from the day or from the time you get up in the morning till the time you leave work who you've got to make happy as a customer and what they need, or you should know what they need in order to keep them satisfied. Different from a business, which is, you know, it's a broader shotgun approach to finding your target market.
Now, some who are listening to our podcast or are listening live online right now might be very skeptical and say, well, you know, geez, Doug, what you're talking about here is just kissing the boss's butt. And how different is what you describe in the Marketing Me book to just kissing up?
Well, the difference is this, like I said, the fact is the kisser up may stay around longer than the more confident person. Again, back to the human failings, people are not objective, and they might just keep the person around who isn't as competent. So that's a fact of life. But the difference between sucking up, which is just for the sake of filling the air with the boss is wonderful, and I agree with everything he says, the difference is, you're bringing competencies to the table that are above and beyond just the personal relationship. You're actually saying, not only do I want to be liked, but I also be liked for what I do and what I accomplish here. And that's the second part of the equation. And one of the things that holds people back, Burke, I might mention, is that their peer pressure is, you know, I don't want to look like the person who's trying to get all the attention and that sort of thing. Because, you know, my fellow workers are going to resent it. They're not going to like me. My answer to that is, are you going to have more regrets of having a few people resent the fact that you're marketing yourself to your boss more aggressively than they are? Or would you rather have the regret of sitting home, being unemployed, not being able to pay your bills, and saying, I wished I would have? And if you put yourself mentally in that place, you're going to say, you know, I can take a little resentment, but I got to pay my bills. And those people who resent you are not going to write checks to pay your mortgage, I guarantee it.
Great advice from Doug Wolf, the author of the Marketing Me book, The Complete Plan for Keeping Your Job in Any Economy, and that includes this one. We'd love to hear from you today at 718-506-1944, 718-506-1944. More with author Doug Wolf in 60 seconds. This is WAMS.
Do you like to get up in front of groups? Do you like to speak and share your ideas with others? Or do you need to speak to be more successful? We can help. Just go to SeminarOnSeminars.com. The Seminar on Seminars is an intensive two-day hands-on event that will give you all the tools necessary to double or even triple your income as a seminar promoter, regardless of what field you're in. You'll learn the seven deadly sins seminar leaders make and how you can avoid them, how to develop a cash-in-your-sleep autopilot product marketing system, five keys to selling 35 to 50% more products from the platform, speaking tips that'll dramatically increase your evaluations and repeat customers, and much more. Go to SeminarOnSeminars.com now. That's SeminarOnSeminars.com. Or to get a special deal for Seminar on Seminars, call 800-345-DEAL, 800-345-DEAL, or visit SeminarOnSeminars.com. Do it now. That's SeminarOnSeminars.com.
This is WAMS Radio. I'm Burke Allen, broadcasting live from Washington, D.C., our nation's capital, where we are in a world of hurt with today's economy. And I'll tell you, jobless figures, as our guest Doug Wolf pointed out, are approaching those of the Great Depression. How do you maintain your employment status if you are still fortunate enough to have a job? And if you're not employed, how do you get back into the workforce? We're talking with Doug Wolf, the author of the Marketing Me book, The Complete Plan for Keeping Your Job in Any Economy. Doug has written over 30 books on a variety of business and marketing solutions, and we would love to hear from you at 718-506-1944, 718-506-1944. Doug, we have a caller on the line. It's Fred. Fred is calling from Washington State. Hi, Fred. You're on WAMS Radio with author Doug Wolf.
Hey, Doug, I had a quick question for you. I work for a company that I feel is in kind of bad financial trouble. Is there anything I can do at all to maybe avoid being laid off, kind of stick out?
Oh, that's a great question.
Yeah, I think you have to – there is – I do write about in the Marketing Me book a chapter about aligning your skills with your company and the economy. And unfortunately, the financial services market has taken a huge hit. As you're probably aware, GMAC and all these, the General Electric and all those have had a really tough time in the financing area just because of, people not even being able to pay their bills and over leverage of the business units and so on. So there's two things I would say to you. One is, if you can prove to your bosses or your company's satisfaction that you're doing more to recover and increase income to the company despite the bad economy, they're going to keep you around. If you come up with ideas and you're doing things that are, you know, collecting on accounts or whatever it is you do there, as long as you're producing more revenue and they're aware of it than what they're paying you, they're going to keep you around. Second thing I would think about is, okay, not all finance companies are in terrible shape, and this might be a time to think, okay, the finance business isn't going away, but I might want to look at jumping on a different horse in this race of a company that's going to survive and come out on the other side. So that's my two pieces of advice for you. Thanks for calling.
Thanks for the call. And without giving away the name of your company, because we certainly don't want to put your business, your work environment, and make it any more stressful than it already is, can you tell me in terms of what you do for the company, would you consider yourself to be more of a sales or an admin type individual?
I'm definitely in the sales department.
Well then, Doug, would folks that are in sales right now, and Fred, thanks for calling. We'll go ahead and move on. Would folks that are in sales, generally speaking, have a bit more job security in today's down economy than someone who may be perceived as more of a line item on a spreadsheet when a boss is reviewing budgets for 2010?
I would think they would in this respect. Their performance is measurable. Usually you have either a salary plus commission situation or straight commission.
Right.
And so you have a way of measuring day to day, in and out, whether or not you're returning the investment the company has in you as an employee. So yes, they have more control of their destiny by simply making more sales if the market is there than most people. Staff folks don't have an immediate feedback loop. Like you have here, Burke, you have a rating system that tells you how many listeners you have by hour, by minute, whatever. So you have a feedback system that's pretty immediate, and you can tell you if you're reaching your success goals that way. So, yes, sales, they have more control of their destiny than someone in the human resources department, as an example.
Doug Wolf is our guest today. He's the author of the Marketing Me book. It's the complete plan for keeping your job in any economy. Doug is based in Southern California, which is certainly one of the areas that has been hit hardest. And we have a question from someone down south. Allison in Mississippi writes in our chat room here at WAMS, and she is curious as to whether or not, if you're in, and I'll paraphrase the chat room listing, Doug, if you're in a job that is somewhat tenuous, and should you let your employer know that you're looking for another opportunity or look very quietly at your next position?
I don't think it's ever a good idea to give anyone the impression that you're looking elsewhere. I think you should go ahead and do your search quietly. But the thing is, that instead of withdrawing like you're hiding out at the job, this is the time to put yourself forward even more, because you'd be surprised if you start doing your marketing within your company, like I describe in my book, and you start getting some visibility, and then another job opportunity comes along. You might be surprised that when you walk in and say, "Look, I've got another job opportunity. I think I'm going to take." You might be surprised by a counter offer. They say, "No, wait a second. Why are you looking for a job? We think you're doing great." So you want to up your marketing efforts and your visibility if, in fact, you're looking for another job.
Great advice from author Doug Wolf. The book is Marketing Me Book, the complete plan for keeping your job in any economy. Doug, I know you've done a ton of these media interviews in the last couple of months with radio shows from coast to coast, and you're a former broadcaster. What is the number one question that these interviewers tend to ask you? What are they hearing from their listeners, no matter what city you're in?
It's the question of standing out and taking on the role of the braggart. How do you overcome the reluctance of how do people overcome the reluctance to put themselves out there as being a solution to the company's problems to the boss without getting resentment? And my answer always is, that's a risk you take. You're probably going to get resentment, and you're just going to have to deal with that. And I like I said, it's better to have that resentment in the office a little bit than not being able to make your mortgage payment.
So your advice in most cases really is that you need to toot your own horn. What if your immediate supervisor, who you need to toot that horn to, is not the one who's ultimately responsible for the purse strings? Is there a strategy for making sure that the person they report to, who really does control your destiny, can find out about your accomplishments without jeopardizing your relationship with your immediate supervisor?
Oh, boy. That's really a tough question, and it takes a lot of skill. I think what you do is, if you can get in the situation where you're giving your boss credit to his boss, because you want the boss's boss to see that you appreciate what your boss does, and that the guy you're working for, your immediate supervisor, is competent and is doing a great job. So if you can get, work your way, maybe a meeting, casual meeting in the hallway, something where you say, I'm working with Jim and he's doing a great job and he really gives me a lot of good feedback, and I know times are tough, but he and I work together terrifically. You never know where that'll go.
That's great advice. I also like your advice of mirroring your supervisor's schedule and their activities, to look at, and if you missed this, you're just tuning in, Doug recommends that you look at whether they come into the office early. Maybe you should come in and match them toe-to-toe. If they like to work late, you work late. If they like to communicate in memo form, then you want to match that. Specific strategies, Doug, that might be different for men in the workplace versus women, and also for folks who are older versus younger.
Well, there is a greater reluctance, I find, in people who've called into shows and so forth on the female side, and it's not a try to be sexist here, it's just an observation, to be more concerned about the peer pressure thing and sucking up to the boss, quote-unquote.
Right.
Women are, they are tough on their peers that way, and they all want to get along, and but they really don't want, they don't have the same, let's say, competitive nature that a lot of men have, which is, I'm going to be the best, and I'm going to go after this. And so that's an issue that I think, you just have to overcome it in your mind, saying, well, I'm just going to have to deal with the fact that I'm going to get some of that resentment. So,
it's a lesser of two evils,
yeah.
Whenever you're in this kind of economy. You've just got to decide, okay, is it worse to get some of that resentment, or is it worse to take the unemployment and sit at home?
Yeah, I think if you just mentally picture yourself looking at a pile of unpaid bills, including your mortgage, and you're sitting at home with no income, versus sitting in your cube in your office and people are not talking to you or sharing donuts like they used to, which would you rather have? Both maybe are not good, but you got to go with what's going to pay your bills.
Are the ideas that you bring forth in the Marketing Me book applicable to white-collar jobs as well as blue-collar jobs? Because there seems to be no sector in this economy that hasn't really taken it in the shorts.
Well, I think I actually think the white-collar worker is the one who's more vulnerable. In this respect, I think if I'm a blue-collar person, usually I have a more visible, and I'm going to use blue-collar in the terms that is more familiar with everybody, which is hands-on manual labor or some sort of thing where it's an hourly wage that people see productivity in front of them. That's measurable, output that way. It's that vast, we have a huge service economy out there that people don't have that feedback loop that I'd like to speak to and have them aware that, hey, you've got to figure out a way to be as visible as someone who is maybe going out and building a brick wall or something like that. You got to put the bricks in place and plaster it up so that your boss can see it, that you're doing that kind of work. And I'm using the terms, you create the picture for them by your interaction and your mirroring and matching and your taking care of their business that they need. One thing I'd like to throw in there, too, is a personal marketing message. I think people often slot themselves, especially in large companies, with the idea that, well, I'm an accountant or I'm in human resources or I'm in collections. If someone says, what do you do? And what I want you to learn out there, everybody listening, and this is in my book, you can work on it, is have a personal marketing message. So when somebody says, well, what do you do for a living or what do you do for our company? You can say something like, well, I save the company thousands of dollars every year in lost revenue. And you've hit the right phrase when the person who hears it says back to you, oh, how do you do that? If they ask the question back, then you're fine. Because what the difference is if I say, oh, I'm in credit collections, people are going to say, oh, I know what credit collections is. They're not going to say, how do you do that?
Right.
But if you say, I saved the company thousands of dollars in lost revenue, they're going to know, how do you do that? And then you have a personal marketing message as well. I'm on the phone every day collecting from people on a time, whatever it is that you actually do, the nuts and bolts. Second thing is everybody has, or at a certain level of company size, you have to have employee reviews. It just seems like that's the way it is. And as you probably know, if you've been through one, it's very painful. The boss doesn't like it, and the employee doesn't like it. So I suggest in the book is make it easy for your boss. Have a bunch of emails from people that you helped or customers that were happy with your service that you've kept over the course of the year or 6 months, whatever the time frame is. And when you're in that painful checklist of the employee review thing, bring that up and say, look, in order to prepare for this meeting, I saved a bunch of stuff from the last 6 months or year. Here are the things I was working on, and here's what customers and my fellow workers and, that sort of thing, here's what they said about me. And the way you get those, obviously, is when you deliver something, that really solved my problem, the customer says, or fellow worker says that. Say, hey, could you just take a second and send me an email saying how much I helped you on this? I'd really appreciate it. Most people will do it. And if you have to, say, I'll write it for you if you just forward it back to me. You got to do it. And have what I'm saying is build your own performance review so it's not one of those perfunctory, okay, here's the list from last year. How's it look? Sign here, and it's over in 10 minutes or 5 minutes. You want to make it more in-depth and more inclusive and make it easy for your boss so that they feel comfortable. They don't feel like this is going to be painful.
Great common sense advice from author Doug Wolf. Take a look at marketingmebook.com. Download a free chapter. Doug, thanks for being on the show today.
I appreciate it, Burke, and have a great rest of the week.
Mama's in the next room watching TV. Dad is sitting there next to her like a handful here. I'm in the living room banging on an old upright where my world began.